We cannot receive what God has to give so long as our hands are full of what we wish to hold. That is why yielding to God is so essential to a full Christian life. I remember hearing of a man whose relative had died and left him a large sum of money. The attorneys in charge of the estate searched diligently in an effort to locate the heir. When he was finally identified, it was discovered he was a street person, a tramp living in the slums of Los Angeles. He was told of his great inheritance, that he need not live in want any longer. He could have good clothes, his own home, food, all the comforts that money could buy. When he considered it all, he refused to accept the inheritance that was left to him. He said, "I have many friends among the street people, and I could not have money here, for I would be robbed. I cannot return to my old home to live, because I would have to leave my friends. And so I will give up the right to my inheritance to stay here with my friends." Now, we would say that is ridiculous, almost to the point of stupidity. We think of all the good that money could have done if it had been given to benevolent causes. We think of the pleasure the heir could have derived from it. But he gave it up to continue with his friends of the street. But there's another tragedy which is far greater in its import than that. It's the tragedy of Christians having received the Lord Jesus in full victory over sin, but not experience it because they do not know of it, or because they doubt that it is possible. The fifth element in yielding to God is to yield your doubts. Now look at Romans 6 again. That's been our basic text for this study. And consider what Jesus has gained for us in his death and resurrection, by which we receive salvation through faith. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 reads, "Our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Now think about that. Our old man is the person we were before we came to Christ, a person who is dead in trespasses and sin, the bondslave to sin, who does not desire God. But that person we were is gone forever. He has died. He died when Christ died on the cross, and he'll never return to life again. And since the life of Christ is being lived in you by the indwelling Holy Spirit, you are living in victory. Deny your doubts and receive that blessed truth with joy. Because the power of God is available to you. When the Bible says that the body of sin has been destroyed, it makes an amazing statement of spiritual truth. Now, it does not mean that the body of sin has been annihilated, but rather that it has been rendered powerless, neutralized, made inactive in the purposes of sin. The old man, which is called the body of sin, was the stronghold for sin in our lives. It was rendered powerless and unable to operate when we were delivered from sin. Now believe it. It's on the basis of that victory that Romans chapter 6, verse 14 could say, "Sin shall not have dominion over you." It will no longer lord it over you, control you, have mastery over you. Its power has been broken, praise the Lord. Have you seen a snake when it has just been but recently killed? You may completely sever its head from its body, but it can still thrash about as if it were alive. So it is with the devil. He's a defeated foe. Jesus knew that before he went to the cross, and he testified, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." And what did he mean? He meant that God's sentence of death was passed on the unregenerate world system, while divine justice fell on the innocent God-man who was crucified. And it means that the devil, the ruler of this world and prince of the power of the air, was then expelled from his place of authority. You believe it? He might thrash about as the newly killed snake, but his end is certain. Do not doubt that. If it seems too good to be true in view of your personal experience, yield your doubts to God and claim by faith the victory brought to you in Christ. Romans 16:20 promises, "The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." That old serpent, the devil, whom we call Satan, will soon be crushed, and it will be under your feet that he shall fall because of the victory brought to you by Jesus Christ. Believe it? Someone says, "Well, it may be so in theory, but I'm not experiencing the victory of which you speak." Well, my response would be, rely on God's strength to overcome the wicked one. The Bible admonishes in Ephesians 6:10, "My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Now you'll notice that our strength is in the Lord and our power is the power of His might, and there is your victory if you claim it by faith. The power of God is sufficient to give you victory over sin. Ephesians 3:21 speaks of it as being a power able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now think about that power. It is a power that is able to do all that we ask. Wow! But more, it is able to do all that we think, even if we dare not ask. It's able to do all that we ask or think, and yet that's not the limit. It's able to do above all that we ask or think. Now, above is a limitless term, 10,000th of an inch or 1,000 miles. This power is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. And how much is an abundance of aboveness? And it's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And how much is an exceeding abundance of aboveness of all that we ask or could even conceive of asking? Now that is a power beyond all description, being beyond our power of comprehension, and it's the power of an all-powerful God. Someone said, "Well, that's fine if I could only experience His power." But look further at Ephesians 3:20. It says that the power is already, present tense, this moment, working in us. The power is there, whether we are experiencing it or not. D.L. Moody is quoted as saying, "God has yet to show the world what He can do with one man who is fully available to Him." If God seems to be inactive in your life, then check the quality of your availability. How yielded are you to Him? God has resources for His dear children that we have never dreamed. He desires to give them all to us, but His giving is related to our receiving. We cannot receive what God has to give so long as our hands are full of what we wish to hold. And that's why yielding to God is so essential to a full Christian life. Speak to God in the words of the lovely course, "No longer mine, but yours, Lord. No longer me, but you. All that I am and all that I have, I give it gladly, Lord Jesus, to you." Are you ready to yield to God now? The whole of yourself, all of your members, your situation, your sins, your doubts, and to claim the victory? If you're ready, tell God so. He's ready. Oh God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our Heavenly Father in Christ, we gladly give over to you anything which keeps us from you. Our hands we would empty of self and selfish possessions. We desire you above all else. And so we yield to you gladly, totally, forever. Thank you for receiving us, forgiving us, cleansing us, and sharing with us all your divine resources through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.